I'm glad we can trust in Jesus. Every time I get up in the morning, have my breakfast, and watch the news, I realize that you can't trust much of anything else. Amen. It's pretty bad. I just wish a miracle would happen and we could have a do-over. Be wonderful. Be a great day in my life if that would happen. Also remember Pastor, Miss Teresa, and others that will be traveling back for safety. And there's families traveling on vacation and so forth. Just remember them in prayer as well tonight. Yes, our political outlook is not very good, but good leadership is on the way. Be encouraged. We will have 1,000 years of good leadership in the world, and our leader will be the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm happy about that. I'm not happy about this, but I sure am happy about that. And so anyway, tonight I want to look at the Word in John 1:1 a little bit. And usually Wednesday nights are study night, and this might be more of a study thing that we're looking at. But the Word has been on my heart for a little while, and some things that it is so rich. He is so rich. There is so much in Him that I believe there's so much in Jesus that we'll never be able to fully understand and reach its fullness in this life. And I believe that's why throughout all of eternity there'll be so much in Jesus Christ. That's why we'll be able to worship Him throughout all eternity without end. And so I just want to look at just some things here about the Word this evening and getting the Word of God just a little bit. I'd like to begin reading in chapter 1 of John and verse number 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word." And I like the fact that we have this phrase in the book of Genesis, "in the beginning." And, in the beginning, we see that God did a creative work. And Jesus Christ came into this world to do another type of a creative work in the souls of men. And we see that He spoke light into existence there, but Jesus came into this world to be the light of the world. That light was not sufficient enough for men, because under that light, men still live in darkness. They needed a different kind of a light. And so, but it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." I'm glad there was no other. "All things were made by Him." And I like this about this Word. This Word is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and His deity, in His glory, in His nature, and so forth. We're going to see some of these things tonight. But the Word is not just words on a page. The Word is said to be Him. Him. Just as it says over in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it also says there in verse 13 that there's nothing that is outside of His sight. Nothing can be hidden from Him. And the Word is the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Savior. And so it says, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light," speaking of John, "but was sent to bear witness of that light," which is the Lord Jesus. "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." You know, science says that the sun is true light, but the Savior says He is the light of the world, and is that true light. "He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Let's pray. Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for this time that You've given us to, Lord, gather around Your Word here in this place, Lord, that's prepared for the preaching of Your Word and for the purpose of sounding out the truth of the gospel. Lord, we ask tonight You'd get our minds off of our jobs, off of our tasks and things, Lord, that we've busied ourselves with this week and today. Help us, Lord, to focus on Your Word. Help us, Lord, to see You as this eternal Word that, Lord, You were in the beginning with God and You are God. And, Lord, that You became flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld Your glory. Even we have seen Your glory, the works that You've done in our lives and in our souls through salvation that You've done in our lives and what You've done in our families. We ask tonight You'd help us see these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. When I look here in the Word of God, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. Jesus Christ did not begin at Bethlehem and cease at the cross. Okay? There are religions that say that He did. But He did not begin at Bethlehem and He did not cease at the cross. He is the everlasting Word. Proverbs 8 said, speaking of that wisdom of God, that God possessed Him in the beginning. Everything was made by this one that is the wisdom of God, the Word of God, the power of God. And His name is Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus said, He said, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Over in Paul's epistle of Philippians, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It wasn't robbery because he is God. He was at that time God. The worlds were made by Him. Everything that was created by Jesus Christ. And so, when we see the Word here in John 1:1, we're looking at Jesus Christ as part of the Godhead, the Eternal Son, okay, if you will. Jehovah's Witnesses will say, well, you know, he wasn't. Mormons will say He wasn't. Others will say that He was not eternal. Even the Jews denied Him, said, He's just a prophet. He's just somebody that popped up and probably a false prophet or whatever. And they deny that He was the eternal Son of God. And so, which makes Him more than what man says He is. We see here in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we see the deity of Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. He is the eternal Word of God, the wisdom and power of God. We also see that we see Him in His glory. He said, and the Word was with God. He was with God. Jesus prayed over there in John 17, glorify Thy Son with the glory that I had with You in the beginning before the world, ever the world was. That was the glory. And this is the Word right here. We see Him not only in His deity, we see Him in His glory. We see Him in His nature. He says, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is equal to God. He is God the Son. Get used to saying that. Don't be afraid to say that to people on the street. Jesus Christ, God the Son, God manifest in the flesh. Now, Christmas time might be the best time to do that because everybody makes over the baby Jesus. Okay? And it's a good time to reflect back and see that this infant that came into the world, he was not just an infant, he was the infinite God. Okay? Because it goes on, it says, the same was in the beginning with God. There was no other. Understand? No one else. Nothing else happened. There was no Big Bang. This one right here, the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. There's none other. None other. And it says, all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. We see His creation. We see the Creator here. We see the Word here in His deity, in His glory, in His nature. And we see Him in His creation. All things were made by Him. And when I look at this, I see that He that came as an infant was the infinite God. There's those that have written that song, Mary, did you know that this child that you're looking at, when you look into the face of this child, you're looking into the face of God. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. And can I tell you, God said it pleased Him that all the fullness of the Godhead would dwell in Him bodily. I'm glad that God sent His Son. And so, we see here, He that hung on the cross was our Creator. He that hung on the cross was our Creator, the one that created us. And so, all things were made by Him and was not anything made that was made. Man will say, well, you know, there was a Big Bang. Man will say, well, there was an evolving of this, and this evolved into that, and that mutated and evolved into that. No. He made everything. Not only did He make it and speak it into existence, but He holds it up by the word of His power. You see, all things were made by Him, and by Him all things consist. Not only did He create them, but He also maintains their order. You know, I've never seen one of the planets get so far out of line that it threatened us that it's going to hit Earth. I've never seen the oceans get so messed up. You understand? The decree that He says, okay, this is where the ocean stops. Okay? This is the shoreline. Sure, we have some storms. Sure, we have some hurricanes. Sure, we have some bad weather. But God decreed that that's where it's going to stop, right there. The reason it doesn't come inland like it could is because of the word of His power. He said it was not to cross that line. By Him all things consist. The sun comes up every morning, the sun goes down every night. Everything is in its order because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We get a little rain today, it's because He decreed it. It's what He planned. And so, all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. I look here. You see, this word, I look at parallels and I see, well, you know, in the beginning, in Genesis there, the Bible says that this word, Jesus, is the author of creation. But I also see here in John chapter number 1 that He also is the author of salvation. And I look at that. He's not only He's the head of the church. And boy, the creative work that He has done in the souls of men and women, boys and girls, when He came into this world, the work that He's done in taking someone who is dead in trespasses and sin and making them alive and giving them newness of life and saving souls and forgiving forgiveness of sins, I see a work that is a creative work. Making new creatures out of old creatures. Making a new man out of an old one. And so, I look here and I see that all things were made by Him. I see His creation. Not only do I see His creation, but I see His life. His life. In Him was life. And friend, tonight we have sayings on the street. People say, I remember when there was a time where the popular saying was, man, get a life. Get a life. Well, I have a life, and it's in Christ, which is our life, the Bible says. I have a life in Jesus Christ. And this verse here says, in Him was life. You see, Jesus Christ, this Word, the eternal Word, He breathed into the nostrils of Adam the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. And I also see that He called Lazarus to come forth, come back to life, who had been dead. And as the old preacher said, if He had not called Lazarus' name, all the dead would have risen. Amen. Why? Because in Him was life. There is so much life in Jesus. And then I love the wording of this verse that says also not only His life, but His, we see this word, His life and His light that comes forth from His life. It says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. He created the sun, the most powerful light in the universe. And I believe everybody can agree to this, that this summer has been, if you've been outside working, you can agree that that's the most powerful light in the universe. Because I have a really good tan because of that light in the universe. I've lost some weight because of that really good light in the universe. I mean, it doesn't, you can stand out there a couple minutes and the Crisco starts melting. You know what I'm saying? The fat bag starts dripping. But it's the most powerful light in the universe. And anybody here that's starting to get about my age, when you go to get two dark socks out of your drawer and you can't differentiate which color they are they black, are they blue, you know, because they're close, you can walk over to a window and that thing will tell you it's a true light to look by. And you can compare in the window light and say, you know, that's a blue one, that's a black one. And if you can't find the other blue one, say, well, nobody at church will ever know. So you just, you know, I don't know what kind of socks you wear. And it's a cool thing if you wear multicolored socks now. So I figure I'm pretty hip if I do that. Yeah, kind of jiggy. So anyway, that's real bad. I just dated myself. But it's the most powerful light in the universe. And He created that. Yet men who live under the sun live in darkness. Now, how is that? I'm not talking about at nighttime. I'm talking about a darkness that the sun, even though it's the most powerful light in the world, cannot drive out, that darkness that I speak of. This world needed more light, needed a special light. Jesus said in His ministry, He said, I am the light of the world. John here says that He came to be a witness of this light, this true light. Well, the sun's pretty true, but Jesus even more true light than the sun itself. And this Lord Jesus Christ that said, I am the light of the world, I see in Scripture that the life that is in Jesus and the light that is put off by that light, life that's in Jesus, is so powerful that it struck the Apostle Paul down on the road to Damascus at midday. And this light was so bright that it was above the brightness of the sun at midday and caused him to be blind. Which tells me the light of the sun is not to be compared to the light of the Son of God. It's a power. He's more powerful light. And that light is a reflection of His life. I don't know about you, but I believe everybody here tonight that has received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and you've received the life that He has, the life that is in Jesus, you've received that, And He's given you that life that you have been enlightened. Those of us who were blind, we can now see. Even though we walk around in the daytime down here in this world under the sun, brightest time of the day, yet we were blind and we were dead in trespasses and sin, and we sat in darkness. And we needed the life that was in Jesus and the light that would open our eyes and help us see more clearly. The light. I don't know about you, but I'm glad for that light. I'm glad for the life that's in Jesus Christ. Speaking of this word, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This world is still having problems comprehending the light and the life of Jesus Christ. Still having problems. It's still being hindered by the devil himself, who has blinded the minds. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, because the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. God that shined the light out of darkness there in Genesis has shined the light of the gospel into our hearts. You see, the light of the sun can only contact the skin, can only go as deep as the skin. But the light of Jesus Christ can penetrate unto the soul. Okay? Much deeper into the heart of a man, woman, or boy, or girl with the light of the gospel. But the darkness comprehended it not. You say, well, what darkness is that? Well, one, it could be the ignorance of men. It could be the sinfulness of men. And you know what else it could be? It could be the wisdom of men. That's exactly what it could be. The men love darkness rather than light, the Bible says, because their deeds were evil. Yes, we're sinful. Yes, many choose to be ignorant. But even the wisdom of man that teaches against Jesus Christ, that teaches against creation, that teaches against any God, is darkness. You say, well, our country's under darkness. What's our universities teaching? Huh? How come Yale and Harvard aren't preaching the gospel anymore? How come some of our major Bible colleges and universities have gone the way of the world and gotten rid of the Word of God, and they forgot what God said? They just take any kind of thing, liberty they want to with the Word of God. It's all about the ministry. It ain't about the message anymore. That's why we're in darkness. That's why we're in darkness. Darkness comprehended it not. But I'm thankful for the next verse here. It says, there was a man sent from God. I'm thankful for men that are sent from God. John the Baptist here prophesied in the Old Testament to be this witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the voice. See, Jesus is the Word. John's the voice. Okay? Jesus is the light. John is the witness of that light. Just like we are. Jesus is the Word, and we're the voice. Okay? You know, a voice is heard and not seen. Is that not right? A voice is heard and not seen. John said, He must increase and I must decrease. I think that's key. Because what I'm seeing in the world today is men are wanting to be seen. Instead of like John saying, Behold the Lamb of God. Instead of, hey, I'm John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Instead of being witnesses of the light, you see, the Lamb of God is to be seen. The Word of God is to be seen and heard. And the light of Jesus Christ is to be seen. We're not. And John, over and over again, stepped out of the way. When you read the book of John, he stepped out of the way, took the back seat, said, "Nah, now I'm not him that should come." He said, "This is he that I spoke of that should come after me. He was before me." Wait a minute. He was born, John the Baptist was born before Jesus Christ. Is that not right? But he's talking about Jesus Christ being the Son of the Godhead there. God's Son. No man has seen God at any time. He sums it up in verse 18. No man has seen God at any time but the Son. The Son. That's who John wanted people to see. I'm thankful that after 400 years, heaven was silent, that there was a man sent from God. God could have stayed angry. God could have left off. God can do what he wants to do. But he sent a man. He didn't send a politician. He didn't send a religious ruler. He sent somebody that had been in no contact with the religious or with the governmental. He sent somebody that had not been in contact with anybody in that area. Somebody that had been with him and had received his message and given his word to prepare the way of the Lord. Some preachers need to get out of fellowships and get back in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Word of God and in prayer and get away from the things of the world and get away from the fellowships and trying to please a bunch of preachers and please a bunch of people and get back to pleasing the Lord and preaching His Word. Not worried about building their own ministry in their name, but building the work of the Lord in His name and for His name's sake. We need that. We need that. We need some men that come up like that in the world that we live in today. Some men that will go back in the woods somewhere, get away from what's going on in the world, and get into the Word of God and what's going on in God's world. Take that message and bring it to this world. You say, well, you got to be up to date. You got to know what's going on in the cultures. You got to know what's going on in the politics. It's the same thing that's been going on for several thousand years. Need somebody to come in out of left field that has a bad case that I don't care what the world's doing. I've got a message from God. Somebody come in and preach that and let God take it and do something wonderful with it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. We got a great obligation to be a witness of Jesus Christ. We've got a great privilege and opportunity to be a witness for Jesus Christ. If we don't have a track in our pocket, then we should be able to give an answer to every man of the hope that lies within us. I mean, we've been saved for 40 years. We ought to have 40 years worth of something in there, Bible verses, Sunday school, anything to tell them standing there. Say, friend, this is what you need to know. He said that all men through him might believe. John was sent to show Israel that this Lord is the one that's coming. Believe on him. And John says, and here in the passage says, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. In John chapter 5, verse 35, Jesus Christ speaks back pertaining to John the Baptist and says that he was a burning and a shining light. That's what John the Baptist was. He was a burning and a shining light. John the Baptist might have worn a leather girdle. He might not have bathed regularly, being out in the wilderness. Any of y'all hungry, we got some crickets down here. If you want to eat some wild locust and honey, I think we got some honey in the kitchen you can have. But he came and he had an odd diet. He had odd clothing. And he was not somebody that had power, money, or prestige. He was a burning and a shining light to prepare the way of the Lord. Came for that purpose. But he was not that light. And he'd tell you in a minute, he was not that light. He was sent to be a witness of that light. I'm glad that God's still sending men into this world. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Our Bible institutions are failing miserably in sending out people that will actually preach the truth. Men get worried about their family and their finances. Men get worried about this and get worried about that. Get worried about this big church. I want to be in this big church and I want to stay here as long as I can. Boy, I see a potential of me being able to retire here. And is that going to affect what you say? Is that going to affect you preaching and saying the things that God says for you to say? Are the deacons, are certain families in the church going to pull you back and straighten you out and threaten you to leave? Well, that's going on in this country. Shame on the man of God and shame on the people of God. Both sides of that fence. But I'm still glad that God's sending men. Man sent from God. And he said here that he was to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus, his life, he is the giver of life. And he gives light to those who he saves. I look at this and I read a passage in the Old Testament. The Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, that he might see the inner part of man. He lighteth. I got to looking at that. He lighteth every man. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Jesus Christ is the one that gives physical life. And Jesus Christ is the one that gives spiritual life and light. Let's look at him in the world, the Word in the world. He was in the world. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. You know, the Bible says the world by wisdom knew not God. There's some of that darkness we're talking about. The world by wisdom knew not God. Can we just say Darwinism right there? Can we not just say science right there? Can we not just say false religion right there? The world by wisdom knew not God. He was in the world. The world was made by him. And the world knew him not. And many of them today willfully desire not to know God. They do not want to retain God in their knowledge. Do we stop witnessing? Do we stop being sent from God to tell this truth and be witnesses of this word and witnesses of this light? No, we do it anyway. Because God said do it and God said he'd bless it. He'd give it increase. He was in the world. The world was made by him, the world knew him not. Not only that, on top of that, he came into his own, the nation of Israel. God's chosen people. He loved them with an everlasting love, he said. And he found them there as a child, and he took them up and he washed them of their blood and he cleansed them and he made them his chosen people, a peculiar people unto himself. And the Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. You know why? Here's the Lord of the Sabbath. And they rebuke him. They rebuke him in the temple. They rebuke him on the Sabbath day for doing mighty works. The Lord of the Sabbath. The priest said, we got to kill this guy. He's going to take our part. What? Your nice houses for overcharging people and making people tithe even of their spices? You bunch of religious crooks. Amen. Bunch of crooks. You allowing people to sell stuff and buy stuff and barter in the house of God. Turtle doves and everything else. And you're worried about losing your part? That tells me that those men of that day, the religious leaders of that day, are no different than the ones we have today, people. They're no different. Oh, I can't let the Lord get too much in this place because I'll lose my control over the people. They're not your people, sir. They're God's children. They're God's church that He purchased with His blood. You're the minister. It's not your ministry, it's His. It's not your word, it's His. It's not your gospel, it's His. He came unto His own. His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I'm glad that He's the author of salvation. Boy, I'm going to tell you, what God does, He does it right. And man can't mess it up. My salvation is secure, and man can't mess it up. And it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. It goes over a couple places. Chapter number 2 here. Where was it here? Let's see here. Verse 11. Chapter 2, verse 11 of John. This is the beginning here where He did the marriage at Cana. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. It says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory manifest through the miracles and the things that He did. The works that He did were of no doubt of God. The religious leaders would say it was not so, but it was the works of God. We beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You and I, when we were convicted of our sins the night that we were confronted with our sin in the gospel, we received Christ as our Savior. And you know what? When He saved us, we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He did a work in us that night when He saved our soul. And we've seen His glory since then. It says, John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. John still testifying to the fact that this is the eternal Word. This is the Son of God. This is Jesus Christ. Verse 16 says, and of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Everybody here tonight, I doubt there's one person here tonight that cannot say, and of His fullness have all we received. There's nobody here that can say, I have not received something from Jesus Christ. Did you eat today? Did you get a shower today? Did you have rain on your garden? Do you have life? Do you have breath? Of His fullness you've received. There is so much in Jesus Christ, the fullness. In Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There's so much in Jesus. That's why preachers can't exhaust that subject. There's so much in Him. You're never going to wear it out. You're never going to get to the depths of Jesus Christ. And there's so much of His fullness that throughout time and eternity, we will worship Him without end. So much there. I've received of His fullness for my physical needs, and I have received of His fullness for my spiritual needs, and will throughout eternity. Of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now John was a witness of Jesus, but Jesus said, I have a greater witness than John. Even though John was a great witness, he said, I have God as my witness. God publicly said there, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He testified of Jesus Christ that this is my Son. He said on the Mount of Transfiguration to Peter, when Peter said, hey, we need to build some tabernacles here. You know, this is a special occasion. And God spoke up there and said, this is my Son. Hear him. Be quiet, Peter. Hear him. Hear my Son. He's the Word. The Bible says that God, in Hebrews, has spoken to us in these days by his Son. The Word. He's the Word. God has spoken to us by his Son. Jesus Christ has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He's still giving light and life today. If you're here tonight and you don't have life, and if you're like Hank Williams Sr. that told Minnie Pearl when he came in and fell in the back seat of the limousine after singing, I Saw the Light, and he was drunk and he was crying and he was hopeless and lost, and he said, Minnie Pearl, he said, there is no light. Because he was looking at it, looking for it in country music and the pleasures of this world and womanizing. And it, the light and the life was in Jesus Christ all alone. Friend, if you're looking for light and life somewhere outside of Jesus Christ, you're not going to find it. You need to look to the Son of God, the eternal Word. As the musicians come tonight, the musician, I would say, if she comes tonight and plays just a hymn of invitation, if the Lord's spoken to you in some way, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you have life tonight? Do you have the Lord Jesus Christ?